If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Luke chapter number 8. And thank you once again, worship team, for leading us on in that worship time and getting our hearts prepared for what the Lord has in His Word today. Luke chapter number 8. We started this series a few weeks ago on the life of a disciple. And what does that life look like? What is that life really all about? And so far we've learned that the life of a disciple has as its priority to spend time with Jesus. We learned that if we're going to be disciples and show evidence of being a disciple, then we must never forget that the priority that we have as disciples is to spend time with Jesus. Secondly, we learned that our purpose is to glorify God. There's no greater purpose for any Christian than to glorify God. There's really nothing that we can do that will actually be greater than that. So many times, if we're not careful, the Christian life can become a life in which we glory ourselves, glory our accomplishments, glory what we think we are, and we really miss the whole purpose of what it means to be a Christian, what it is to live a life as a Christian. And so I think it's important that we always remember that God's Word teaches us that the life of a disciple is a life that has as its purpose to glorify God. Now, this morning, we're going to learn that a life of a disciple must have as its practice to daily live by faith. The life of a disciple, you should have the practice of daily living by faith. Now, the disciple does not live by bread alone. We know this. Jesus said it. The disciple does not live for the riches of this world. The Apostle John says, love not the world and the things that are in the world. The disciple does not live to see and experience the miraculous. The life of a disciple is to live by faith. I love what Martin Luther, the reformer, once said. He said, God, our Father, has made all things depend on faith, that so that whoever has faith will have everything, and whoever does not have faith will have nothing. And I think it is important for us this morning to understand that our lives as disciples should have as its practice to live by faith. Here in Luke chapter number 8, we have Jesus taking his disciples over a lake. Now, that lake we know is the Sea of Galilee. You can read that in Mark chapter 4 that relays the same story, or Matthew chapter 16. They both relay the same story of Jesus and his disciples crossing the Sea of Galilee. Now, this trip over the lake is not the typical boat ride with beautiful weather and calm waves. In fact, it'll be a ride in which the disciples will actually be afraid for their lives. Yet in this whole experience, Jesus focuses on what they lacked during their trip. It is something that as disciples, we can lack at times. It's something that I think we can relate to them in this way. Notice what the story reads, if you will, in Luke chapter number 8. We're going to read from verse 22 down to verse 25 about this boat ride across the lake. It says, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. This is a story that if you've grown up in church, is probably very familiar to you. church that you, a story that you probably heard in children's church or Sunday school or at VBS somewhere. It's just a very well-known story in the Christian life. And if you're familiar with the book of Luke, you know that as a matter of a big picture kind of study in the book of Luke, all of chapter 8 and really most of chapter 7 has been sharing about different miracles of Jesus. And you'll notice that all the miracles are really how he has all power over everything. He's casting out demons. He's healing the sick. In fact, he's even resurrecting a child that was dead. Luke is sharing all these stories with one focus, just so that people that are reading, he wants them to understand, and he wants us to understand as we read his letter, that Jesus is all-powerful. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God, because there's nothing he cannot do. And so he's sharing that as a matter of big picture. But from Jesus' perspective of what's happening in this story, Jesus is focusing on something else. Jesus isn't focusing here on his all-powerfulness, but he's focusing on his disciples. And with that focus, he ends this experience of crossing the lake with a question to them. He says, "Where is your faith?" Now, that is a question that was often asked by Jesus to those who would follow him. It's not the only time he asked this question to his disciples, "Where is your faith?" He asked it many times, sometimes before doing a miracle or sometimes before casting out a demon. He would say, "Disciples, where is your faith?" He was trying to get them to understand that there's nothing that you're going to do in the Christian life without faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you're not going to be casting out demons without faith. You're not going to be able to feed 5,000 with two loaves and two fishes and five loaves without faith. Everything that's going to be done must be done in faith. And so this morning, I want to talk a little bit about, as we study this passage together, what that life of faith in a disciple looks like. There are three lessons that I can see in this story that are important for any one of us that is a disciple of living by faith that we need to understand and apply into our lives. So I want you to notice, if you're taking notes this morning, that the first lesson that we learn in this, if we are to live by faith, is that we must trust his word. We must trust his word. Now, the first thing that Luke points out when telling this story is what Jesus said. Notice in verse number 22, he says, and he got into the ship. They came, got on a certain day. He went into a ship, and the words that he says unto them, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." As they prepare, as they get in this ship, Jesus tells his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." Now, let me ask you something. Do you know what faith is? We did a series last year on Hebrews chapter 11, all about faith. That whole chapter is about faith. And if you remember that series, we learned that faith is simply believing God. Believing God. If you're gonna boil it down to the simplest definition, faith is believing God. So to ask yourself, "Do I have faith?" is really to ask yourself, "Do I believe God?" Now, it's not just, "Do I believe God?" but even more specifically, "Do I believe God's word?" Because how can I know if I believe God if I don't know what God said? It's kind of like if I went and asked you, "Hey, do you believe John?" "Do I believe John what?" "What'd he say?" "I don't know. I mean, depends what he said." Right? We want to know what somebody said before we believe in whatever the statement is. And with Jesus, it's the same way. With God, it's, "Hey, do I believe in God?" Well, I got to know, do I believe what his word says? That's really what we're asking. Do you believe what God has said? Now, if we're going to believe what God has said, if we're going to trust his word, we must understand then that God is saying something. So this is important for us to understand. the disciples are getting into this ship, and they have to understand, and this is something that all three writers, whether it's Mark, whether it's Luke, whether it's Matthew, they write Jesus's words at the beginning of their narrative, of the story of this experience. They said, Jesus said, okay, let us go over to the other side of the lake. Jesus said it. So if Jesus said it, it's important to understand then, as a disciple, you got to understand, God has something to say. If I'm going to have faith, if I'm going to live by faith, then I got to know what God said. And that just means implicitly that God is saying something. Do you know that every time you read your Bible, God is saying something to you? Every time we open his word as we read, whether it's in the Gospels, whether it's in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament stories with the people of Israel, it doesn't matter. In any part of the Bible that you're reading, you must understand God is saying something. He's not saying words just to fill time. He's not saying something just to kind of kill the deadness. Jesus never did that. God doesn't do that. He didn't fill anything in his word. There's nothing in the Bible that's there just to kill the awkward silence. God is saying something. Now, we know that faith without God's word is not true faith. We might define that as a wish. There are people in our world today that say they have faith, but if they don't have faith, believing God's word, that they don't have true faith. What they have is what I would define as a wish on something. And the reason it's just a wish on something is because there's nothing of certainty behind it. There's no certainty behind what they are saying. And if we're going to trust someone, if we're going to trust something, we must have some certainty behind it. For instance, I'm a pastor. That is my calling. That is what I do. Nobody, and I mean nobody, has ever come and asked me to analyze the results from their heart test. Because I have no credibility. I could probably read the paper verbatim and just say, this is what the paper says. But if they were to ask, but what does that mean? I don't know. It means you're okay. Yeah, go ahead. You're okay. Go ahead. Now, if they believe me, whether they're okay or not okay, they would be foolish to do so. Why? I'm not a doctor. But if you give those same papers to a doctor, and the doctor says, hey, you're okay, usually we go home and we're like, okay. How you doing? I think I'm doing okay. Why do you think you're doing okay? Because the doctor saw the test results. He says, I'm doing okay. He knows. It's what he studies. That's what he does. There's a certainty because of the person that's saying it. I have some certainty that I can trust that I'm okay. The reason that there is true faith and then there's a faith that is not true is the certainty behind who's saying what is being said. You can trust God's word because it is true. There's certainty behind it. It has been proven true over and over and over, century after century. You can see the evidences of that truth in history, in science. You can see the certainty behind it. And that's the thing that distinguishes true faith from wishing faith, is really who is saying it. So here the disciples are getting in the boat, and Jesus says to them, let us go to the other side of the lake. They have his word, but do they trust his word? Well, they've heard that he is saying something, and at this point, the disciples have no problem trusting God as they hear his words, right? They don't have no problem trusting Jesus. They hear his words. Hey, let's go over to the other side of the lake. Okay. It's pretty simple, but you know that trusting God is more than just hearing what he has to say. Now, it implies that he has something to say, so we need to know what he's saying. But true faith is more than just hearing his words. True faith is also obeying what God says. It's obeying what God says. Notice that the disciples also decide to launch out based on his word. Look at verse number 22 once again. don't just take my word for it. It says, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. The next sentence says, and they launched forth. In other words, they obeyed. So the trusting was not just hearing that he had something to say, but then obeying what he says. True faith in God is not just knowing what the Bible says, it's also obeying and doing what the Bible teaches. Now, the disciples at this point have listened and they're obeying. We can say they are trusting his word at this point. They're saying, this is what Jesus said. We're all getting in the ship. Let's go to the other side. It's kind of like what James said in James chapter 2, verse 17. I put it in your notes. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And they're surely at least giving evidence right now that their faith is not dead. They're showing the disciples that they're going to live by faith because they're hearing what Jesus is saying, and then they're obeying what Jesus is saying. Now, we must ask ourselves just on this point as we kind of think about that. What is it that we are trusting in God's word today about? What is it that this past week we trusted God's word about? Say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? I mean, what did you obey this past week from something that you saw from God's word? What is something that you read about that you learned that you said, you know, I can trust that? You know, I can bank on that truth being certain, and I can follow it. I can obey it. Now, if you can't think of anything, I wonder then, are you really living by faith? Or are you living by a wish? Is it true faith that's leading your life, or is it something else? We find that with these disciples, they go from knowing Jesus is saying something to obeying what Jesus is saying. Now, as disciples, we must daily be in God's word so that we can daily hear what God has to say and obey it. That's the whole purpose of why we read the Bible, God's word. It's because God has something to say. He's not just filling time, you know, with something. No, he's speaking to you and to me. And that means he's got something to say. We ought to listen to what he is saying, and then we ought to obey it. So, if you're a disciple today, is your life reflecting you trusting his word? We find in this narrative, in this story, that number one, they had to trust his word. And at least to this point, they're doing that. But if we're going to live by faith, we also must understand this. Yes, we have to trust his word, but we must understand this, that faith is proven during storms. They get in the boat. They're trusting his word, they hear it, they're obeying, but their faith is not yet proven. Think about that. You get up in the morning or in the afternoon or in the evening and you open God's word and you begin to read it and you begin to say, God is telling me something. And your heart begins to be moved as you understand more of God's word and you say, man, I'm going to apply that today in my life. Man, he's talking about forgiving and there's somebody I've not really forgiven in my heart and I really want to start forgiving them and I really want to move forward in my life. All of that is good, but it ain't proven yet. Because you see, our faith is proven during storms. The disciples had heard him say, let us go over to the other side. The disciples had been obedient to the words of Jesus. In order to get to the other side, they've launched out. But what comes next in their life is totally unexpected. They sail right into a storm. Now, Jesus knows all things. Sometimes the thought comes to me, why not tell them, guys, and just be ready? We're going to the other side, and just be ready. There's a storm. I mean, he knew that storm was coming. Why not give them a heads up?
And the reason he doesn't give them a heads up is found in verse 25 when he asks the question, where's your faith? That's the reason. Why? Because he wants to prove, are you really listening to what I'm saying? Are you really obeying because you trust me? Now, there's something really important in this that you and I need to understand. Faith is proven during storms, and notice that every disciple went through it. Every disciple was on that boat. At the end of verse 22, they all launched out. In verse 23, but as they sailed, and that's they, that's plural, that's all of the disciples, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they, that's all the disciples, were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Notice all of them were in this situation. Now, this
sorry, I forgot to... number six, by the way. All right, testing. There we go. Sorry, we'll get those batteries fixed in a minute. But as I was saying, getting back to this, storms or faith is proven during storms. Every disciple went through it. Now, everything that Jesus did, not every disciple experienced. For instance, I believe it's in Luke 9 or 10 around there that Jesus takes James and John and Peter, and he goes up on a mountain. They experienced the Mount of Transfiguration. Only three disciples saw that. When a little girl had died, and Jesus was going to bring her back to life, only Peter, James, and John went with him into the room. Everybody else, all the disciples, and everybody else that was there at the funeral stayed outside. There are certain things that Jesus did that was only with a few disciples. But I want you to notice that going through the storm was something that every disciple went through. No exception. And the reason that every disciple had to go through this is because every disciple had to prove their faith. You know, sometimes you might think that you're the only one that's going to escape this. But there's no escape in this reality. And the reason for this isn't that God loves to see his followers, you know, shaking and trembling and going through storms. That's not. The reason each one of us goes through it is because God wants to prove each and every one of us what our faith is. Because the question isn't just to everybody, hey, where's your faith? No, no. The question is to you, where's your faith? I'm sure on that day, he could have said, hey, Peter, where's your faith? John, hey, where's your faith? Philip, where's your faith? They all had to go through this storm because they all had a time where they needed to prove their faith. Let me tell you something, something that I know you already know. But hearing and obeying are easy things to do on shore on a perfect sunny day, right? It's really easy to come to church when everybody in my family is healthy and I feel good and I got a raise on Friday. Man, it ain't hard to come to church then. It's like, yeah, man, God is so good. Yeah. I bought a new car. I just moved into our new house. Yes, yes, God's good. Man, it's easy on those sunny days to come into church and sing loud. You know, the way that we sing in the shower when we think that we're, you know, Celine Dion. We're just belting it out. Easy on those days, but it's very, 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 very different to come in on a Sunday when Friday you got laid off or you're fired. Or your oldest son is in the hospital and there's nothing that you can do to change that. That's a lot harder to come in. Easy to hear and obey on the sunny days, but see, our faith isn't proven on the sunny, perfect days. It's proven in the storms. And every disciple has to go through it.
As someone once said, calm seas never made for skillful sailors. Anytime I think of storms in life, I think of Job. A man that lost all his wealth in one day. And then lost all his children. And then went even further and lost all his health. And you say, how do you respond to that when a storm like that hits you? How do you respond? Well, I can just tell you what Job responded. Look at it in Job. I put it in your notes, chapter 23 and verse number 8. Behold, he said, I go forward, but he is not there. He's saying, I don't know where God's at. He said, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. He's saying, I was looking for God and I just couldn't find him. And let me tell you something. When you lose all your family and all your wealth and all your health, it does seem like God's not there. It does seem like God doesn't care. He said, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. In other words, this is what he said. He said, I understand that faith is proven in storms. Job said, Not woe is me. I can't believe I'm the only one that has to go through this. Job knew this is just the way that God refines people. You can't have beautiful, bright, pure gold without the fire. Job said, well, this storm is just a way to purify me. That's why it's important. We should never believe that we're the exception to this rule. And we should never doubt because we must prove our faith. And the storm is not the time to wonder if God is there or not. God is there. But I want us to notice an important truth about this. We all go through it. And understand that the danger is real. So faith must be too. Because the danger is real, our faith must be real as well. You see, at the end of verse 23, it says that the disciples were in jeopardy. That means that they literally were in peril and in danger. The boat was literally going to sink. That's how dire the situation was. There was real danger. And here's what's interesting is that four of those disciples were fishermen. They'd been on this lake before. They'd been on the Sea of Galilee. They knew how to maneuver boats. They'd been through storms before. And here they are. They've done everything that they can and nothing is working. The storm has hit. They're doing all that their skills know how to do and nothing is working. They weren't able to get out of the situation on their own. I'm sure they had exhausted everything. Hey, man, throw this out. Hey, this cargo, we don't need this. Hey, move the sail. I don't know. They were doing all that they knew how to do, but nothing was making the storm go away nor the boat to stop sinking. Now, I think we can all admit it's the tendency of every disciple when going through a storm to try and get out of it their own way. That's just our tendency. And I think it's even greater in Americans, which we are. As Americans, our culture says, hey, pulled myself by my own bootstraps. I made something of my life. I work hard. I can do anything. Just put your mind to it. As Americans, we have that culture. Independent. But you know, in the Christian life, that's not the way you're supposed to live. I'm not saying we are to be irresponsible. I'm not saying that we're not to be independent in the choices we're making. What I'm saying is that in the Christian life, storms come, and our tendency is to try to continue through the storm the way we've been doing everything else in life. And when that happens, your boat sinks. Because that is when faith needs to be exercised. Faith rests on promises, not on our performance. Faith rests on promises. In other words, what has God said? That's what faith rests on, not on what I do. And so many times in the storms of life, what we think of is, if I can just do this a little bit more, I'll get out of this situation. If I just put more hours at work, then I'll save my family. If I make just a little bit more money, then my marriage will be happy. We think that the storm is here, and if I can just do a little bit more, if I can just do it, then things will be different. The disciples were in jeopardy because they were doing everything themselves. And finally, in verse 24, somebody has a bright idea. Let's go to Jesus. Let's wake him up. By the way, they wake him up with an insult, right? They wake him up and, don't you care? We're all about to die. Don't you care? Man, it's amazing how patient God is. How loving God is. Even as he's being insulted by the question, he still acts. He still wakes up and calms the storm. By the way, in verse 22, we find that Jesus was asleep. You ever wonder, why was he asleep? Because of faith. In fact, and I didn't put it in your notes, but if you read through the book of John and John chapter 15 and chapter 16 and chapter 17, you'll find that Jesus said over and over, I came to do my Father's will, not my will. And says, I know what God wants me to do. I'm safe because I'm within his will. No matter what storm, no matter what circumstance, I'm okay because I'm in his will. You know why I can sleep in the middle of a storm? Because I know that God said, we're going to get on the other side. That's why. And I trust his word. How do I know you? How do we know that he trusts his word? Because he was asleep. He's not trying to perform and trying to get it all out himself. He was, by the way, he's the greatest example of faith that we have. It's not the Apostle Paul, it's not the Apostle Peter, it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's our great example. He is our Savior, but he's also our example. And here his faith gives him a calmness. When caught in the storm of life, it is a great proving ground for our faith to be shown to be real and genuine in the midst of danger and turmoil. Look at what Psalm 107 says. I don't know if Jesus had already taught on this. Possibly had. Maybe the disciples had forgotten this passage. It was already written by this time. It was in the Psalms. But notice, just read the psalm and just look how much it connects with the experience that the disciples are going through. Notice it says, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man or at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired. How you can argue Jesus isn't the Messiah, I don't know. That is as clear as day as what he did. Probably why Luke and Matthew and Mark are sharing this story is to say he is the Messiah. He's the all-powerful. He is the God from Psalm 107. But from Jesus' perspective, where's your faith? Where's it at?
If we're going to live as disciples by faith, we need to trust his word. Number two, we need to understand that faith is proven through the storms. Number three, and we'll end with this, the third lesson, that if we're going to live by faith, we must remember that God is in control of all things. At this point, as I've said, the disciples had seen many miracles. They'd seen Jesus casting out demons, healing the sick, and resurrecting the dead. They had seen all that, and yet they didn't think they'll make it to the other side. They were still putting limits on what God can do. Yeah, he can raise this literal dead young man from the dead, but I don't know that he can get us to the other side. I mean, look at the storm. Sure, this person is blind and now they can see, and man, that's pretty impressive. That's pretty remarkable what he can do, but can he really get us to the other side? I mean, look at this storm. Can you not see the wind? Do you not feel the waves? Do you not feel the danger that you're in? I mean, yeah, Jesus does a lot of things, but I'm not sure he can get us there. What were they lacking in their faith? Lacking to remember that he is in control of all things. How sad to forget sometimes that our God is an all-powerful God. It seems impossible not to remember that, and yet, so many times in the storms of life, we forget that. What does this mean then, that God is in control of all things? It means that he is greater than the storm. The jeopardy that the disciples felt was based on two undeniable realities. Number one, that the storm could kill them. There's nothing they could do about that. That was true. But the other basis for this, of their jeopardy, they realized that jeopardy. But number two, they didn't believe Jesus was greater than the situation. They just didn't believe that. And sometimes I think, can you really blame them? They're taking on water. The wind is blowing really hard, and Jesus is asleep. I mean, what's going on? And all of that, it never crossed their mind. We'll be okay. He's greater than this. Usually in our lives, we can find ourselves with this same attitude. We doubt we're going to make it. We wonder if there's anything anyone can do, and we forget who controls the storm. We really do. Now, I think it's interesting to note that he doesn't always cause the storm, but he always controls the storm. The word there in the Greek there in verse number 24, you can underline this if you want, but it says, and he rebuked the wind. Do you know that only two other places the Bible uses that word rebuked? And every time it's when Jesus was casting out the demons or fighting against Satan. That's the only time. So if Luke is using that with that purpose, what we see from the implication is that probably the devil caused this storm. Kind of like the devil caused what happened in Job's life. If you read Job chapter 1, he didn't know that, but God was working in Job's life, and Satan thought he could come and destroy Job's faith in God. And God allowed Satan to bring a wind that came and killed his children. God allowed that. God didn't cause it, but he allowed it. Because why? He was in control of it. He was in control of the situation. God doesn't always cause the storms in our lives, but he's always in control of them. Psalm chapter 93, I put it in your notes. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Yea, and the mighty waves of the sea. Never forget God. God is greater than the storm. And then lastly, he can bring calmness in a moment.
You know, the disciples went from fearing for their lives to marveling at how Jesus could stop the storm with just a few words. Didn't take an hour, didn't take a day, didn't take a week. The storm, like that, was done. And when it was over, Jesus said, but where was your faith? Jesus had calmness the whole time. Notice Jesus was never panicking. When the wind started lifting up, he was asleep in perfect peace. It was the disciples that had to come and wake him up and get him out of that peace. But he was fine. I think the lesson in that is that the one thing stopping us from experiencing calmness in a storm is who our faith is in. As long as faith is relying on us and our performance and getting that water out of the boat, there's going to be just too much water coming in for you to take it all out. The wind's just going to be way too strong for you to fix the sail well enough to get through it and navigate in. Calmness isn't in what I can do to get myself out of this storm. Calmness is found in my faith of who's controlling the storm. That's where it's found. Why Jesus asked, where is your faith, is because they had been given his word. Would they trust him? Because in the storm, they were to prove their faith. And they failed. Because in the storm, they were to see that God is in control of all things. Faith believes that. Psalm 119, verse 165 says, abundant peace belongs to those who love your instruction. Nothing makes them stumble. The question this morning is, what are we living by? You see, every disciple that is following Jesus has the practice in their life of daily living by faith. What does this mean? It means trusting his word by hearing and obeying it. It means understanding that our faith will be proven only through the storms of life. We'll all go through them, so be ready. But because the danger of the storms are real, your faith must be real. Genuine faith makes it through the storm. It means we must live remembering that God is in control. He's greater than the storm. And he can bring calmness in the midst of it. If you'll just live by his truth. If you just trust. When he says, we're going to the other side, you're going to the other side. When he says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, you're not alone. Trust it. Well, it doesn't feel like that sometimes, Pastor. No, it doesn't. That's where faith comes in. I want to challenge us this morning to live as disciples daily, living by faith. Just three quick applications. Number one, take time to be in God's word. Number two, stand strong in your faith when everything around you says to forget your faith. When everyone around you wants to question your sanity. And by the way, that's happening more and more in our society. It's Christians that are looked at as crazy. Why are they crazy? Well, because they believe an ancient book. A book that's not even relevant for today's society. Yeah, they're crazy. Stay strong in your faith in that storm. Number three, rest in the knowledge of God's control. Pastor, I got some bad news from the doctor. Rest in God's in control. What's that storm going to be like? I don't know. Scary. So make sure your faith is real. Make sure you're resting in one who is greater than the storm. I think what you'll find is the calmness and peace in the midst of it. Every disciple has as their life's practice to daily live by faith. Let's pray. Father,
Thank you this morning for your word and for your truth. As we just meditate upon this experience in the life of the disciples, how we can relate so well to it. Because, Father, we face storms in our lives. And truly, the one great question that must be asked by you to us in the storm is, where is your faith? And though, Father, there are times when our faith is weak, when we can admit that we failed in our faith because we were panicked and we were scared and we weren't trusting. Father, I pray that you forgive us for any kind of attitude that's led us to make decisions based on that in our life. Based on fear or based on outside pressure or based on some wrong philosophy. Forgive us for such actions, such decisions, and such a lack of faith. Father, help us to trust in you. Help us this morning to prove that our belief in you is genuine and real, even in the most dangerous of times, even in the most difficult of situations. May we never forget that you're holding us. You are greater than whatever we will be facing. And in your will, you could calm the storm in a second. Or like your son, just give us calmness as the storm rages on. Whatever it may be, Father, we ask of you to empower us to live by faith today. Help us throughout this week. As we go to work, as we lead our families, as we do what it is that we do in life, help us to live by faith, not by sight, not by our own security, our own performance, and our own philosophy. Help us, Father, truly to live by faith alone. Be with your people this morning. As we apply your word into our hearts and into our lives, I ask this in Jesus' name.